It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And New York State's rent laws will expire in 4 days. The deadline is next Wednesday for many other bills for this year, including driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants, loosening the laws around gestational surrogacy, decriminalizing sex work, cannabis legalization, ending the religious exemption for vaccinations, and more. Maybe after yesterday's helicopter crash, they even have a new issue, helicopter flights over crowded urban areas. Some people are calling for a ban. A new Siena College poll is generating conversation in Albany this morning. Statewide majorities say legal weed, yes. Driver's licenses for undocumented New Yorkers, no. Religious exemptions for vaccinations, no. It also finds Mayor de Blasio is nearly as unpopular as Donald Trump around New York State. This is a statewide poll, not just a city poll, but still, Governor Cuomo and Senators Gillibrand and Schumer all get net positive ratings. De Blasio is down with Trump. We begin today by checking in with two members of the state Senate, Brad Hoylman, Democrat from parts of Midtown Manhattan, just outside the area where the helicopter crashed around 51st and 7th. Hoylman is chairman of the state Judiciary Committee. And Luis Sepulveda, Democrat from parts of the Bronx, including Parkchester, Soundview, and Morrisania. Sepulveda is chairman of the Crime Victims, Crime, and Correction Committee. Senator Hoylman and Senator Sepulveda, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh,
good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
Senator Hoylman, since so much gets decided at the last minute and behind closed doors in Albany, let me ask you if you think these Siena poll findings are changing the viability of at all of either, to start with, the cannabis or driver's license bills, net positive on cannabis, net negative on driver's licenses?
Well, I sure hope so, that the trend will be positive in both directions. I mean, these are common sense measures that other states have enacted. We have seen the success in other states. Public opinion polls are certainly one test that elected officials look at. At the same time, you know, you have to weigh your conscience. And I think that when it comes to driver's licenses, it is an issue of basic fundamental rights for a lot of undocumented New Yorkers who want to get to work on time, who want to get food on their table. And that's why, I guess, at the end of the day, groups, upstate groups like the Business Council have endorsed this measure. So I'm hopeful we can get something done in the Senate. It's Senator Sepulveda's bill, and he's done an amazing job on making certain that everybody understands the issues.
Senator Sepulveda, therefore, same question on those same two bills to start out?
Well, I mean, certainly, Brian, the poll numbers, regardless of poll numbers, we as leaders sometimes have to do what is correct, what is right, and we can't lead by poll numbers. You know, leaders have to lead, and that's what we're attempting to do in the Senate. But the reality is that the poll numbers that you're talking about are terribly inaccurate, and, you know, it's just a simple question, yes or no, doesn't do it, because we've done our own polling. And when you talk to people and explain to them the benefit to the bill, the fact that it'll generate $26 million the first year, $55 million every year after, the fact that other states have demonstrated that this particular law, when they've applied it in other states, have made the roads extremely safer. California has had 4,000 less fatalities, and they attribute a lot of that to their version of a green light bill. When you talk about the fact that in areas and states that they have it, it's generated the economy, it's allowed undocumented immigrants to integrate themselves into the economy and essentially give a boom to local economies that are suffering, especially like here in New York State. When you tell people that this was the law prior to Pataki's executive order after 9/11, that this is already in existence and there were absolutely no issues with it. So when you explain that to people, when you do a poll, as we did, actually a plurality of people support it. Clearly not a majority, but more people support it when you explain it than oppose it. And so I'm wary of polls, and I'm certainly wary of people, elected officials that are going to govern just based on polls. It's just not what we do, and that's not what we should do. So, we're elected to lead.
So, listeners, that's one of the things you can call in on this morning. The bill in Albany right now to allow undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses, pro or con or questions, 212-433 WNYC, 212-433-9692. And as all these deadlines approach, you can call in and do some citizen lobbying if you want, or ask a question of these two state senators, Hoylman from Manhattan, Sepulveda from the Bronx, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And since that's your bill, Senator Sepulveda, let me just stay on the undocumented immigrants' driver's licenses for a second. Some people who are skeptical might think, well, this is a way to a kind of a under-the-table way, although it would be a law, so it's not really under the table, but it's kind of a backdoor way to give documentation to people who haven't earned it through the immigration system. I think when New York City came out with its municipal ID card, Mayor de Blasio said that very explicitly. He wants to give more legitimacy by creating this new form of ID to people who are undocumented, so it's easier for them to live their lives. Is that what you're doing explicitly?
Well, no. I mean, I think we're doing a combination of things. Certainly, look just recently, the Nassau County Police Chief indicated that undocumented immigrants sort of live in the dark. And in many cases, they are extremely helpful to the local law enforcement agencies. And he said that if he loses that group, he'll have a major problem with law enforcement in Nassau County. And so this is part of what we're trying to do, give people that may help our society, that may help law enforcement, an opportunity to feel comfortable speaking to them without fearing that a potential running a red light or you know, cruising past a stop sign will ultimately lead to them being separated from the children for months on end. But it also, you know, you talk about what it does to the economy. It's, you know, if you look at economic numbers, it's good for the economy. And it's just, you know, the Republican talking points are that it's going to lead to, you know, to them registering to vote and so forth. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, that when you go to vote in New York State, they don't ask you for an ID. So if anybody's going to engage in that kind of behavior, they don't need a green light license to do this. The reality is that, you know, you have undocumented immigrants already living in the state of New York. And if they continue to drive without a license, they have not gotten the benefit of taking the written exam, of taking the practical exam, and certainly they don't have the benefits of having insurance. And if they get into an accident causing either personal or property damage, this could be catastrophic to people who are on the other side of the accident. You know, God forbid a family member of yours or mine should have an accident with an undocumented immigrant who doesn't have automobile insurance and suffers a severe injury, and you don't have money to pay for the injury, if you don't have health insurance. These are the kind of things that this bill will protect us against. But the reality is that when you look at all of the information, all of the talking points of the Republicans, it's not going to lead to voter registration by undocumented immigrants. It's not a path to citizenship. And states that have it already, like even Utah, which we all know is not a progressive liberal bastion, even Utah has this bill, has this law. And there hasn't been this concern that, you know, that all the Republicans are talking about in terms of backdoor way to citizenship or a backdoor way to allow them to vote. You know, those are smoke screens. The reality is that this is the right thing to do. And no matter what, undocumented immigrants are here. You're talking about close to quarter of a million people in New York State that may be driving without a license or can benefit from this bill. And so let's make the state safer. Let's generate the economy. You know, we're reaching a budget deficit next year. This is a way to generate revenue for state and local economies. And so let's do what's right. Let's continue to generate money for the state of New York.
We're getting calls on various sides of this issue. So let's take a few of those, and then we'll go on to the rent reform bills and other things. Lewis in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, thanks, Ryan, for taking my call. My question is, right now, Uber drivers or Yellow Cab drivers have proper New York State IDs, driver license. At the moment that undocumented immigrants get a New York State driver license, are they going to be able to drive Yellow Cabs, Ubers, or commercial vehicles? And if that's the case, is there going to be a conflict because they're not they're here illegally? So if they drive for a living, how are they going to get paid since they're here illegally?
Thank you. Senator Sepulveda will stay with you on this since this is your bill.
Well, I mean, the requirement for driving with Uber or Lyft or any ride-sharing companies, those requirements are set by them. It's not set by the state. Uber can say that they'll take drivers that don't have any driver's licenses. I mean, of course, it's impractical and it'd be a major insurance issue. But we don't set the type of of requirements that any ride-sharing program does to allow people to drive for them. But the reality is, if they are immigrants, undocumented immigrants that receive driver's license, will have a driver's license that has a notation that basically says that it cannot be used for certain purposes, like federal purposes of voting. So Uber will know the kind of driver that they may or may not be contracting with. But we in the state, we cannot control that.
Suman in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Suman.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I want to applaud the senator for his principled and also practical stance on driver's licenses. I'm an immigrant rights advocate who's been working in this field for 20 years. And I am finally glad to see this bill hopefully advancing in New York State. It actually reflects the reality of so many immigrant as well as other communities that depend on folks being able to just get around. And I think it sends an incredibly strong message of practical support at a time of an all-out war on immigrants. I worked on this bill in 2006.
Suman, let me jump in but since you've been working on this idea for a long time, and since many people in New York State don't like Donald Trump's war on immigrants, but also, according to the Siena poll, and I know the senators dispute the accuracy of the poll, but according to the poll that's out today, many New Yorkers are still skeptical of this idea or against it. What do you think, with your long experience on this issue, people are not getting?
People are not getting is that, number one, providing a way for individuals who are undocumented and need to drive to be able to register and provide their information will actually help regulate a system that is already happening in a far less regulated way. So it's actually going to give the whole system and law enforcement, as well as many others, far more information that they currently have and provide protections to those who are driving.
Thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate it. Do you have, by the way, Senator Hoylman, do you have the backing of the police groups and the DA groups around the state on this with, you know, the driver, the road safety concerns that advocates are raising?
Yeah, some. And I think that, you know, I think the main kitchen table issue for most New Yorkers is that Senator Sepulveda's bill will lower insurance premiums for the rest of us. And I think that's an important point that your caller made, that this is highly unregulated currently. Everyone is like operating in a vacuum, and let's impose new laws and regulations that make everyone safer, including non-immigrants.
Yeah, Russell in the South Bronx. Let me go on to one more caller on this, then you can respond however you want. Russell in the South Bronx is an opponent of this idea. You're on WNYC. Russell, hi.
Hello. I'm an opponent for one reason. I don't know why this country awards people who break our laws. I'm tired of hearing my politicians who I elect use the phrases undocumented immigrants. They're criminals. They're illegal immigrants. I hear this gentleman make a statement, if they don't have a license and they hit you, you don't have coverage for this, you don't have coverage for that. You do have coverage. It's called no fault. No licenses for illegal immigrants, period. That's the statement I want to make.
Thank you very much. Senator Sepulveda?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, I find it highly offensive, and someone with that mindset that refers to people as illegals or criminals. It's just, you know, he must be, you know, using the Republican talking points, probably a Trump supporter. I find it highly offensive. But the reality is you can live in that state of mind where you say, yeah, do nothing about it. They're criminals. Get rid of them. But the reality is that they're here. They're driving, and our roads are unsafe. And, you know, that's what we're working on. But, look, you have a wider range of support throughout the state, including the Business Council, Cranes New York, New York Insurance Association, American Property Casual Insurance Association, New York Trial Lawyers, the New York Smart Growth Coalition, NYSNA, all of the major unions, New York Vegetable Growers Association, 55 municipal leaders. These are people who understand the economy, who understands how this would work, and who understand that this is nothing but something that will make our roads safer and will generate the economy.
All right. We're talking about a whole host of bills that are nearing their deadlines for 2019 in the New York State Legislature, with State Senators Brad Hoylman, Democrat from part of Midtown Manhattan, and Democrat Luis Sepulveda from parts of the Bronx, including Parkchester, Soundview, and Morrisania. And let's talk about the rent laws. I'm going to go down a list of major rent reform items and tell me, each of you, if you support them and if you think they've got the votes. Senator Hoylman, an end to vacancy decontrol. No more taking rent-stabilized apartments up to market rates when a current tenant moves out.
I think that is a solid yes. I think we've got the votes in both houses. We even have support of the governor. I think that's in the package for certain.
And what about major improvements to stabilize buildings and apartments? The landlords can now raise the rent permanently for them and then continue to profit more, even when those improvements are paid off. Senator Sepulveda, what should the law be, and what do you have the votes for?
Well, I think we're still having discussions, but I think we're going to reform that process, and certainly the ultimate package that we have from the Senate will have the support for it.
Senator Hoylman, there's a distinction there between abolishing these improvement rent increases altogether and only allowing the landlords to raise the rent temporarily until the improvements are paid off. I think the mayor and the governor have both come out for that, what they see as a middle position, allowing the rent increases to pay for improvements, but not letting them continue once those improvements are paid off after a few years. Is that where you are?
No, I mean, I actually prefer abolishment altogether. The system has been abused for decades, Brian. There is no enforcement. There's no oversight from the regulatory agencies on the application of these MCIs. They're basically used to pad the rent and move apartments out of stabilization. So I'm glad that we're walking into the negotiating room arguing that they should be abolished. We'll see what comes out of it. But as it stands now, there hasn't been anything that I've seen that suggests that MCI should remain as they are.
What about, Senator Sepulveda, the argument from the landlords that they're not going to have the incentives to improve buildings and improve apartments if these are going to automatically result in losses for them, rather than if they just get to pay them off or get to raise the rents temporarily until they pay them off?
Well, I mean, the reality is that many landlords use this as a tactic to get MCIs in the first place, where they will not do repairs. They'll let them essentially the building fall in disrepair, and then suddenly they'll make a claim for MCI. And this is the way this is the tactic that they use that we're trying to stop. And, you know, any landlord that says that is being somewhat disingenuous, because the reality is that, you know, the amount of money you make on these buildings are not just about amount of rent that you get. You get tax incentives, you get depreciation, and you get appreciation in value of the properties. You know, landlords are not leaving New York State, and there's a reason for that. And even if you abolish MCIs, they're not going to go anywhere. They're going to maintain their if they're smart enough to maintain their buildings on a regular basis and not do it and let things fall in disrepair, then you wouldn't have these issues with MCI.
All right. Preferential rents. Confusing name for a simple thing. If an apartment is renting for below the allowable stabilized rent, because that's all the market would bear, the landlord can raise it all the way to the allowable threshold if they want to, causing a rent shock for the tenant. Or for many people, in effect, an eviction, which is sometimes what they're after by raising the rent a lot at once. The bill would only allow the percentage increase of other stabilized units. For example, if it's a 2% allowable increase that year, it would only be a 2% increase from that lower than market rent or lower than allowable stabilized rent. Senator Hoylman, will we see protection for people paying preferential rent, a lot of low-income New Yorkers in low-income neighborhoods?
I think so, because we've seen, again, the abuses by many landlords who suddenly raise the rent upon the lease renewal and force a tenant out. The whole point of this rent law reform package is to protect people in their homes, and you've got to reform the preferential rent program if you're going to do that.
You have the vote, Senator Sepulveda?
On preferential rent?
Yes.
You know, the conference is having discussions to fine-tune all of the issues. I am not, even though it's important that we reform this, I'm not as concerned about preferential rents because 92% of tenants who have gotten preferential rent will sign a market lease and remain in their apartments. But anything that we can do to make it less expensive and make it so that everyone can remain in their apartments, even if it's potentially just 8% of the population of tenants, but anything we can do to strengthen their ability to remain in their apartments and pay their rent is something that we look forward to in the Senate.
Okay. And the most controversial of them all, so-called good cause eviction, which would cap the rent for many apartments not currently in the rent control or stabilization system. Senator Hoylman, do you have the votes for that?
Well, we announced our support for all 9 bills in the Advocates Reform Package, and good cause eviction was one of them. So I say that we do have the votes. Everything's a negotiation, Brian. But, we've seen this type of model be implemented elsewhere successfully, including New Jersey, and I think New Yorkers should have the protections of this kind of legislation. It's interesting to me, Brian, that this hasn't been a tenant issue until this year when Julia Salazar introduced the bill. It was kind of hiding in plain sight for so many tenant advocates. But I think if we don't pass it this year, I think it's going to be the rallying cry for future advocacy campaigns around protecting people's rent-regulated apartments and people who live in non-regulated apartments, which is the whole point of it.
All right. And listeners, if you're interested in hearing our interview with the sponsor of that bill, Senator Julia Salazar, that was just the other day. You can go to our archives and hear about this proposal for bringing a lot of non-rent stabilized or rent-controlled apartments into that system. Let's take another phone call. Robert in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I just wanted to bring up the issue of religious exemptions. The issue, part of it is that only 0.5% of children in New York State have religious exemptions at this point. And 0.5% doesn't really affect the herd immunity. None of the children infected with the measles outbreak that recently occurred had religious exemptions, as far as I can tell. Also, not all of those children who were infected with measles, or many of the children who were infected by measles, were not infected publicly. They had parties in the Hasidic community who have basically measles parties. Only a small percentage of the children who are not vaccinated have religious exemption. Most unvaccinated children in New York don't have religious exemption.
Robert, thank you very much. Senator Hoylman, this is your bill to end the religious exemption for vaccinations for children, right?
It is. It is, Brian. I just, have to respond to the caller's mention of a measles party. I find that so grotesque that parents would endanger their children's health that way. But it's one thing, of course, Brian, to put your own child in peril, which is abhorrent. It's another thing to put someone else's child or an immunocompromised adult or a pregnant woman or an infant into harm's way because you believe bunk science about vaccinations. I really believe, Brian, that we can move on this bill. We just saw the CDC numbers yesterday come out. More measles cases across the country. The United States is in danger of losing its status of having vanquished the measles virus if we don't do something about it. And New York is ground zero for this outbreak. So I think the point the caller makes about 1% or less than 1% of religious exemptions across the state of New York belies the fact that in concentrated neighborhoods, there are high numbers of religious exemptions, up to a quarter or more in some schools across New York City, for example.
Are you on the same page as Senator Hoylman, Senator Sepulveda?
Well, absolutely. Senator Hoylman is, he's a highly respected, thoughtful legislator in the Senate. And I know that he has delved into the medical research. I know he has children of his own, as well as I do, and school-age children. And the reality is that the numbers that he cites are accurate. Anybody who says otherwise is just being disingenuous. This is a problem. I certainly don't want my children to be in school with children that are not vaccinated. And I think 99% of the parents in the state of New York wouldn't want that either.
Yes. And the Siena poll that's out today shows very large support for ending the religious exemption. I think the number was 82% support, something really high like that. But Senator Hoylman, that's exactly the point of the First Amendment, right? Religious liberty for a minority religion shouldn't depend on public opinion. Are you concerned at all when you advocate this that you're rolling over a religious minority here with majority support?
Well, I'm always concerned when an issue touches the First Amendment, as we should all be, and I think my colleagues in both houses have been thoughtful about that. We have seen over the decades a number of court decisions at the federal level, including all the way up to the Supreme Court, Brian, weighing in on whether you have a First Amendment right to practice your own religion and endanger your child as a result of your beliefs or someone else's child. And the courts have all come down uniformly saying you don't. And I side with those who believe that public health is paramount. Unless we keep everyone healthy, we may not, have a First Amendment to protect. We have to really, really make certain that the community and the people who are immunocompromised have their rights respected, too. Right. Why should it, Brian, that a child who is recovering from cancer not have the right to go to school and feel safe in their own classroom? And that is the other side of the coin.
We have a few more minutes with New York State Senators Luis Sepulveda of the Bronx and Brad Hoylman of Manhattan, as we're talking about some of the many bills that are being considered right now and will either rise or fall before the end of the session next Wednesday, and in the case of the New York rent laws, its own deadline this Saturday. And Fran in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Fran.
Hi, I'm calling in support of a bill that Senator Sepulveda is our sponsor, and that is the Halt Solitary Confinement Bill. We know that solitary confinement, which is practiced widely in New York prisons, is a form of torture, and we've been fighting for several years to get this bill passed, and I want to ask the Senator what's happening, what's stopping us, and what he thinks our chances are that we will, in fact, get through this year.
Right. That is your bill, Senator Sepulveda, right?
Yes. Well, yes, she's accurate. The United Nations has indicated that solitary confinement for more than 15 days is considered torture. And just recently we got some medical support that indicates a study that was done that indicates that people that get into solitary confinement come out more violent, come out more mentally unstable, and it makes a bad situation even worse. The whole solitary confinement wants to limit the number of days that people can be subjected to this type of discipline, but also will provide other sources of resources so that people can get alternative forms of assistance, mental health, medical health, and even put them in different locations, increase the number of outside hours they get for exercise from 1 to 6, so that people can actually are able to go out and do some exercise, sound mind, sound body. The reality is that solitary confinement is practiced in a way that is inhumane. I don't care if it's an open prison, an open door to the cell. Try to be in a room that's in some cases smaller than a closet and live in there sometimes for 5, 10, 15 years. There's no way that anyone is going to convince me, and the medical data has and research is proven the fact that this does not make anybody better. It makes them worse. So the biggest issue we have is budget. It's a large, what we call a large ticket item. The governor has some concerns about the budget. I know that in theory he supports it. In theory, I believe we have 33 sponsors in the Senate. The Assembly supports it, and I think ultimately we have a real good chance of it becoming law.
One more. John in Englewood. You're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Oh, hello. I'm glad you got to me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. I wanted to make a few comments about the bill to decriminalize sex work. And I want to make a few comments.
Make your one best comment, because our time is short, okay?
Okay. Demographically, we're living longer than ever. People's needs change. Sometimes in marriages, needs contrast. Sex through life is a very healthy aspect of living. Legalized sex work can help to prevent STDs, can help legitimate sex workers to work with the police to stop the trafficking. As a veteran from Korea, I can tell you that there are times when I enjoyed myself in some of the villages, and it was some of the most friendly, engaging social experiences I ever had.
John, I'm going to leave it there. Very candid. Senator Hoylman, how far might the state legislature go to decriminalize sex work in New York?
Well, if we have a hearing, we should definitely invite John to testify. That's my first comment.
I'm not sure he's going to be your best witness.
Good point. That said, I think this is a multi-session issue for sure. I think the sponsors, Senator Ramos and Julio Salazar and Assemblymember Gottfried, recognize that. I think the main issue here is protecting people from exploitation. And frankly, the same issue has arisen in my efforts to legalize gestational surrogacy contracts. You want to make sure that people have agency and are able to make decisions regarding their own bodies with all the information and legal and health support that is required to make a sound decision. I think that's the starting point for any discussion about legalizing sex work.
I think there are tiers of this, Senator Sepulveda, and then we're going to be out of time. Either legalizing the sex work just for the sex workers, but still arresting the Johns and the traffickers, or legalizing for the workers and the Johns, but not the traffickers, because those are the people who really might be exploiting people, even to the point of international slavery rings, in effect, or decriminalizing the whole thing. Where are you, and where do you think the legislature will be by next Wednesday?
Well, I'm not sure if we'll have the complete package by next Wednesday, as Senator Hoylman has indicated. It is a complicated issue. I look at it from a perspective of who is the victim. A lot of it is these young women, women of color, women who are being exploited by their Johns or by traffickers. So from my perspective, I'm going to look at how I can protect these individuals, these victims, these young women who are being exploited, and take it from there. But it's still under discussion, and ultimately I'm sure that our Congress will reach a compromise that's beneficial to the people that we're trying to protect.
Luis Sepulveda, Democrat from parts of the Bronx, including Parkchester, Soundview, and Morrisania. He's chairman of the State Senate Crime Victims, Crime and Correction Committee. And Brad Hoylman, Democrat from part of Midtown, who is chairman of the State Judiciary Committee. As we've gone through a number of the items that are on the table now, as we near the end of the New York State Legislature's 2019 session in the next 8 days. Thank you both so much for talking about so many things. I hope we've informed the listeners who can now get about contacting you or whoever their own state senators and assembly members are to give their opinions one way or another on these bills that are under consideration. Thank you both very much.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Maya Wiley next. Stay tuned.